Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
One of the lead occupiers of Occupy ICE in Portland was arrested Wednesday night after authorities say he violated a condition of his probation. Probation, huh? Preventing him from having any contact with minors. Now, this doesn't sound really good, but it says now these people are protesting laws and the Constitution, folks. Are we insane that we are allowing them to rule a roost, so to speak? Micah Rhodes was ordered to stay away from anyone under 18 after being convicted of criminal sexual abuse this year for incidences that occurred in 2014 and 2015, Oregon Live reports. Rhodes was put on probation this year after being convicted on 3 counts of second-degree sexual assault or sexual abuse for having illicit sexual contact with a 17-year-old girl in Washington County and a 17-year-old boy in Multnomah County. The sexual abuse occurred in 2014 and 2015, and Rhodes was 20 and 21 years old at the time. The Occupy ICE PDX camp had a number of minor children living in it, Oregon Live says, based on reports from other bloggers and reporters who visited the camp. Authorities have not released details of Rhodes' alleged contact with minors, but the cramped quarters of the camp likely made it impossible for Rhodes to abide by the conditions of his probation, which mandate a certain distance from all minor children. It is not clear either whether Rhodes lived full-time at the camp. He does run a group called Portland's Resistance, which was involved in the Occupy ICE protests in Portland and which seems to have visited the camp regularly. A blogger named Robert West allegedly filmed Rhodes at a protest outside of Portland's ICE headquarters back in June before Occupy ICE PDX camp broke ground. Rhodes will appear in front of a judge next week. He could face up to 2.5 years in prison. Well, that'll get one of them off the streets anyway. I reported this week on my updates, the ones that the left has been clamoring to for their news against the right. Stormy Daniels, whose husband filed for immediate divorce for the safety of the children. This Occupy ICE leader, who is leading all these minds full of mush to protest our border laws, is a child molester. And the list goes on and on. Do we really need to continue this conversation? Sane people would say no, but the left? Oh, yes, let's continue this until it runs this country out of existence. Yeah, let's do that. You are listening to the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show, or NWCR, as I have been calling it. And I am your host, Robert Garding, with today's show. Glad you are here with us on this 27th day of July in the year of our Lord 2018. Hard to believe this month is, it's 29th day of July, actually. Sorry about that. In the year of our Lord 2018. And now on with the show.
Roger that. News sources that there is serious talk of Antifa having a nationwide protest
slash riot. I think it was like November 4th or 3rd. That's one small step for man. One
Hour 1 of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show with your host, Robert Garding. At the rate our leaders are ignoring our Constitution, we're finding that they cannot lead, nor do they want to keep us safe from our enemies. And yes, we have some. From the crossroads of America, the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show is brought to you through the traditional American Patriot Network with the Doctor of this Republic, showing that the truth can be told to save this nation. And now, on with the show.
Okay, we are back. The call-in number to be on the show is 646-478-5284. If you wish to join the discussion today, it's great to have you all here. And the left has a great show planned for us today. So without any more ado, let us continue with Laura Trump and the real news, number 78.
Laura Trump. Thanks so much for joining us to hear all about the President's Week. After criticizing politicians as weak for attacking his trade strategies, President Trump met with European Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker and declared a new phase in European Union trade relations.
This is why we agreed today, first of all, to work together towards zero tariffs, zero non-tariff barriers, and zero subsidies on non-auto industrial goods. Thank you. Thank you.
Putting American workers first, President Trump will continue his counter-tariff strategies to achieve zero-tariff deals that finally create fair and reciprocal trade for America. No one loves our veterans more than Donald Trump. That's why it was a special treat for the president to appear at the 119th Veterans of Foreign Wars annual convention this week.
I'm honored to be here today in Kansas City, Missouri, to pay tribute to the men and women who make freedom possible. We stand up for America. We stand up for the patriots who defend America. And we stand up for our national anthem.
President Trump is fixing years of neglect by implementing sweeping reforms that are delivering the best care our cherished veterans have received in over a generation. America is open for business. At the second annual Made in America product showcase, President Trump celebrated our great American manufacturers.
All of these products have something special, very much in common. A big, beautiful seal, and that's with the sign, in this case, Made in the USA.
With a renaissance in manufacturing supported by record cuts in regulations and historic tax cuts, there's never been a better time for products to be American made. President Trump is taking major action to train American workers as job openings outnumber job seekers for the first time in history.
That's why in a few moments I will be signing an executive order to establish the National Council for the American Worker. That's a first. This council will be made up of top officials across the government. We're also establishing an outside advisory board of industry leaders and experts, which we will announce in the coming weeks, very shortly. A lot of people want to be on that board very badly.
20 companies have stepped up to train 3.8 million workers over the next 5 years, thanks to President Trump's leadership and his commitment to American workers. Thanks for joining us, everybody. I'm Laura Trump, and that is The Real News.
Okay, it seems the media, who are supposed to report the news, won't report on the good things going on with the Trump administration because, like a commentator or a commenter I had on my updates this week who said that even if Trump does something good, he hates the guy, so it doesn't matter. Well, folks, for America, it matters. And That is why this show exists and why we continue to report on the lame street, what the lame stream lying media won't. Trump is doing good for America because he is a businessman, not a career politician. He knows the workings of the free market and he has implemented those things. And now, even as the financial expert said it couldn't be done in 2016, when the candidate Trump then said that the economic growth would hit 4% if he becomes president, this week, folks, it hit 4.1. Again, Trump was right, and the liberal establishment was wrong. And what more can you say? A far-left candidate running for a competitive congressional district in suburban Philadelphia has criticized a Supreme Court ruling no one in their right mind would oppose. The ruling upheld laws designed to protect sexually abused children, opposed defunding law enforcement agencies, and mandated minimum sentences for sexual predators. The Washington Free Beacon has more. Scott Wallace, the Democrat who is challenging incumbent Republican Brian Fitzpatrick in Pennsylvania's 1st Congressional District, is the grandson of former President Henry Wallace, former Vice President Henry Wallace, and inherited a fortune after his grandfather's company was sold in the 1990s. Wallace spent years running the Wallace Global Fund, his family's foundation created in 1995, which has dispersed millions to radical left-wing groups while devoting no funds to organizations or groups located in the district where he is seeking to represent, the Washington Free Beacon previously reported. Prior to Wallace's involvement with the fund, which dates back to at least 1995 when he was listed as a director on its board, Wallace was the legislative director for the National Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers for 7 years from the mid-1980s to the early 1990s. As Wallace was acting as the legislative director with the Criminal Defense Organization, which is based in Washington, D.C., he argued that there is no such thing as victim conduct being off limits. Okay, Wallace said the Supreme Court's ruling could lead to false accusations and unjust convictions. Yeah, right. This is the same kind of thing, only in the opposite direction that my parents used to tell me, which is there are consequences to every action. Do bad things when you do bad, then bad things will happen to you. Follow the law and do good things, and good things will happen. The left just doesn't seem to understand these basic concepts, immigration and customs, that is going on. And they just don't seem to understand that because of these concepts, things have to work the way that America says, you know, or things are going to get worse. And the left just doesn't seem to understand these basic concepts of life, do they? But that is neither here nor there.
Breaking new information tonight in the shooting of Fort Myers police officer Adam Jobbers Miller. The NBC2 investigators confirmed the accused shooter, Wisner Desmarais, is a Haitian citizen living in the United States illegally. We confirmed Desmarais has a long history with law enforcement and with mental illness. And we just checked with the Fort Myers Police Department. They tell us that Jobbers Miller's condition is critical but stable at Lee Memorial.
We have team coverage tonight. NBC2's Joanna Boris found out how the community is really stepping up to support the officer. David Hodges looked into the suspect's history of mental illness. But we begin with NBC2 investigator Rachel Polansky, who just found out Desmarais is here illegally and federal agents put a hold on him as early as 2008.
I confirmed.
Okay, on that note, it's time to head to our first break. So we will be right back after these messages, and stay tuned. We will be right back after these important messages.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's
still the wrong lever.
Vietnam was the war where American troops showed valor and bravery on the battlefields, but where the enemy was nothing more than ghosts in the jungle, and superstitious too. This gave rise to the Vampire Patrol, six men who fought the whole war together, spreading death and destruction along with vampire voodoo lore into the ranks of the enemy with precision and cutthroat accuracy. Now, years later, police department. The job that gets Matt on the case is one that brings the Vampire Patrol back from the past and places it right smack dab in the middle of the present, taking him to a small town on the Indian reservation called Lukachukai in northern Arizona. There, a mountain named Roof Butte not only holds mystery, but a cloud of fear that oozes out of it into the evening sky. Matt is the one who has been hired to find out what is going on there and without becoming part of the nasty plan going on in the area. Night Owls is the first in a new series of mysteries with Matt Joseph, Private Eye, and is on sale now at https://www.createspace.com/486-9187. That's www.createspace.com/486-9187. It is also available in digital form and on Amazon too. That's Night Owls, a Matt Joseph mystery by Robert P. Garding. Buy it, read it, enjoy the reading experience again. Order Night Owls today.
When is the best time to talk to your family about staying in touch during a disaster? When floodwaters reach your door? When wildfires are engulfing the edge of your neighborhood? Or an earthquake is destroying buildings? When a tornado is tearing through town? Or a hurricane strikes? Or is the best time, perhaps, today? During a disaster, you may not be able to stay in touch with your family or friends as easily as you think. And it's not always as simple as using your cell phone. That's why now is the time to take action. Go to ready.gov/communicate and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Okay, we will get back to what I was playing before about the illegal who shoots a cop in the head. This happened in Fort Myers, and this is the report of that happening.
Breaking new information tonight in the shooting of Fort Myers police officer Adam Jobbers Miller. The NBC2 investigators confirmed the accused shooter, Wisner Desmarais, is a Haitian citizen living in the United States illegally. We confirmed Desmarais has a long history with law enforcement and with mental illness. And we just checked with the Fort Myers Police Department. They tell us that Jobbers Miller's condition is critical but stable at Lee Memorial.
We have team coverage tonight. NBC2's Joanna Boris found out how the community is really stepping up to support the officer. David Hodges looked into the suspect's history of mental illness. But we begin with NBC2 investigator Rachel Polanski, who just found out Desmarais is here illegally and federal agents put a hold on him as early as 2008.
I confirmed through immigration and customs officials that Desmarais is an illegal immigrant from Haiti. And a spokesperson tells me now he will go through the legal process for the shooting of Officer Jobbers Miller. And then he'll face ICE proceedings.
It could take months or it could take years for Wisner Desmarais to face possible deportation for being in the country illegally. Immigration and Customs Enforcement tells me first he'll face any charges from local authorities. ICE will then look into taking him into custody and potentially deporting him when and if he is released, even if that means after a prison sentence. And the NBC2 investigators have learned this isn't the first time that DeMarais was placed on an ICE hold. We've confirmed through the Glades County Sheriff's Office that DeMarais was placed on an ICE hold in December 2008. He was then released to ICE officials at the Crone facility in Miami. 2 years later, in a 2010 booking report, we see DeMarais was placed on another ICE hold, this time in Lee County. The NBC2 investigators have also found discrepancies regarding DeMarais' citizenship in several Fort Myers police reports between 2010 and 2016. In one report dated May 4, 2011, DeMarais is listed as being born in Haiti without citizenship. One day later, in another report, he's listed as being born in Haiti, but this time he does have citizenship. And I found paperwork on three more cases in which DeMarais' place of birth or citizenship did not match previous arrest reports.
Now, you may be asking why DeMarais wasn't deported after either of those two ICE holds. Well, an ICE hold does not mean automatic deportation. I asked ICE specifically about the earlier holds on DeMarais, and I was told they cannot comment because this is an open investigation. Reporting live for the NBC2 Investigators tonight, I'm Rachel Polansky.
Okay, that being said, Fort Myers Police Chief Derek Diggs identified the alleged shooter as 29-year-old Wessner Desmarais. He fired on Jabbers Miller as the police officer struggled to restrain him after assaulting a group of men and stealing a cell phone from a car in a gas station parking lot. Instead of immediate deportation, which I think should have happened, ICE confirmed that DeMarais will face charges from local authorities. Among those eight charges is attempted murder of a law enforcement officer, a possible life sentence. NBC2 explained how DeMarais evaded deportation for so long. The Glades County Sheriff's Office said that DeMarais was placed on an ICE hold in December of 2008. He was then released to ICE officials and at the Crame faculty in facility in Miami. 2 years later, in 2010 booking report, DeMarais was placed in another ICE hold, this time in Lee County. Ray Stevens kind of came out with a new song on the illegal immigration and what is going on, and it's kind of a humorous look at what is going on here.
Hello, this is the IIAP, the Illegal Immigration Assistance Program, a taxpayer-funded division of OAPNUT. For Spanish, press 1, Portuguese, 2, Arabic, 3, Farsi, 4, French, 5, Swahili, 6, German, 7, Italian, 8, and if you insist on English, please stand by. If you're thinking about illegal immigration, be careful when you're choosing the nation, because breaking the law in some countries is frowned upon. Imagine that. Sneak into China, they'll call you a spy, and ship you to Mongolia till you die. And in the Sudan, they'll hang you and the camel you rode in on. Yeah, and don't go hiking and enter Iran, or you might never be heard from again. And in Mexico, you might face a firing squad. Yeah, forget all about going to North Korea. That's a great example of a bad idea. So when it comes down to it, there's only one option you got. Yeah, come to the USA. There's no penalty to pay should you get caught illegally immigrating. Come to the USA. It will be your lucky day. Come to get in. There's lots of goodies waiting. Like health care, welfare, free education, help with your voter registration and driver's license and credit cards and license plates for your car. Lots of jobs for you to do and employers who'll turn a blind eye to. Come to the USA. They'll give citizenship to your new baby, so you see, there's really only one choice for you. Come to the USA. There's no penalty to pay should you get caught illegally immigrating. I said come to the USA. It will be your lucky day. Come when you get in. There's lots of goodies waiting.
Yeah, you get public housing and cable TV and food stamps and even government cheese. The borders are a swinging door. Go home for a visit and come back for more. There's sanctuary and amnesty. Bring the whole family eventually. Yeah, come to the USA.
It is, the guy that we're talking about should, for any guy that this should be deportation or jail for life. Noticing the immigration system had and only one identified Florida officer would not have died at the hands of a criminal illegal. This is just another story that has a sad part because someone who shouldn't have been shot was someone who would have been here in the discrepancy made imperative that the man was deported. But had this police as it possibly can be. Is at home, like we said. It's really sad that it has to happen in the country, and then Democrats apparently say it has to do with guns. Well, sad left, but not the way they are saying it is. We will keep at least another hour.
We will be right back after these important messages.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up, like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and theshelterpetproject.org.
When you went car shopping, you meant business. You ace vehicle history searches and test drives. You out salesman to the salesman. Now you've got your wheels. If you manage that, you can get your retirement plan on track. Visiting aceyourretirement.org can help. With 401k tips and smart saving strategies, you'll have the info you need to get more for your future. Go to aceyourretirement.org because when it comes to speeding past financial challenges, you're an ace. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Hello, this is Robin Zanner.
Hello, this is Rick Nielsen from Cheap Trick for Rad.
Some people think it's fun to drive drunk, but that's unacceptable.
Be smart. If you drink,
don't drive.
Think ahead and choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives, and so should you.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Rad, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back, and it seems like we are working on the face of new priorities here, priorities that are being demanded of us from the Democrat Party, who is not in charge, but they act like they are. But the new face of the Democrat Party made inaccurate statements this week about various political issues while appearing on the Comedy Central, which is actually, if you think about it, a really good place for these people to be. Comedy Central. Ocasio-Cortez made three false statements within a span of 1 minute about Seattle's minimum wage, wages earned by American citizens, and the size of the U.S. population. And then she went on to even go farther on this and talk down about the our military, but yeah, that's neither here nor there. Here she is.
You look at ideas you have like supporting a minimum wage.
Mm-hmm.
You are very pro the idea of people earning enough to make a living.
Yeah,
right?
Shocking.
Crazy ideas. But then there are those who say, look, I agree with you,
mm-hmm.
but how do you pay for this? How
mm-hmm.
do you make it
mm-hmm.
economically feasible? There are some who argue and say, I hear what you're saying, Ms. Cortez, and I'm with you,
mm-hmm.
but a $15 minimum wage may stifle economic
mm-hmm.
growth.
Well, first we see, for example, studies in the city of Seattle that have implemented $15 minimum wage show that that is not the case. Secondly, one of the...
Okay. First, Ocasio-Cortez claimed that Seattle's $15 minimum wage was an example of a $15 minimum wage not hurting the economy, despite the fact that studies have actually shown that it has significantly hurt Seattle's economy. And then she goes on, and this starts all over.
You look at ideas you have, like... supporting a minimum wage.
It,
you are very pro the idea of people earning enough to make a living.
Yeah,
right?
Shocking.
Crazy ideas. But then there are those who say, look, I agree with you,
mm-hmm.
but how do you pay for this?
Mm-hmm.
How do you make it
mm-hmm.
economically feasible? There are some who argue and say, I hear what you're saying, Ms. Cortez, and I'm with you,
mm-hmm.
but a $15 minimum wage may stifle economic
mm-hmm.
growth.
Well, first we see,
Line
for example,
one.
Studies in the city of Seattle that have implemented $15 minimum wage show that that is not the case. Secondly, one of the biggest problems that we have is 200 million Americans make less than $20,000 a year. That's 40% of this country. And how can we have an economy that grows? How can we build wealth as an economy if a large plurality of Americans are too poor to participate in it?
Okay. Next, Ocasio-Cortez claimed one of the biggest problems is that we have 200 million Americans that make less than $20,000 a year. That's 40% of the country. Now, MRCTV notes that if 200 million Americans equates to 40% of the country, that means there is a whopping 500 million Americans in total, except that there aren't. There are only about 328 million, meaning that 200 million would make up about 61% of the total national population, not 40. Her claim that 200 million Americans make less than $20,000 a year is off by tens of millions of people, as U.S. Census Bureau statistics show that approximately 28 million American households live on incomes of $25,000 or less, and the median household income is over $57,000. In the most ridiculous part of the interview, Ocasio struggled mightily to come up with rational and coherent explanation of how to pay for her dreams of large government programs. And here she is again.
But then the pragmatic side of it comes in, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
How do you pay for these? You know, you always see people coming in with economic arguments.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, look, these numbers don't really add up. You know, in order to get health care for everybody, this is what it would cost.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be troubling. Even if you reverse the Republican tax deal, that's only going to make up 5% of what
mm-hmm.
we need to pay for Medicare for all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you pay for education for all? How do you pay
yeah.
for all of these ideas?
So this is an excellent, excellent question. And in fact, there's a lot of back of the envelope stuff based on our values. So, for example, I sat down with a Nobel Prize economist last week. I can't believe I can say that. It's really weird. But one of the things that we saw is if people pay their fair share, if corporations and the ultra wealthy, for example, as Warren Buffett likes to say, if he paid as much as his secretary paid, 15%, if he paid a 15% tax rate, if corporations paid, if we reversed the tax bill but went raised our corporate tax rate to 28%, which is not even as high as it was before.
Right.
If we do those two things and also close some of those loopholes, that's $2 trillion right there. That's $2 trillion in 10 years. And it's wide, one of the wide estimates is that it's going to take $3 to $4 trillion to transition us to 100% renewable energy economy. So we got $2 trillion from folks paying their fair share, which they were not paying before the Trump tax bill.
Right.
They weren't they weren't paying that before the Trump tax bill. If we get people to pay their fair share, that's $2 trillion in 10 years. Now, if we implement a carbon tax on top of that, so that we can transition and financially incentivize people away from fossil fuels, if we implement a carbon tax, that's an additional amount of a large amount of revenue that we can have. And then the last key, which is extremely, extremely important, is reprioritization. Just last year, we gave the military a $700 billion budget increase, which they didn't even ask for. They're like, we don't want another fighter jet. Like, they're like, don't give us another nuclear bomb. You know?
Right.
They didn't even ask for it, and we gave it to them. And so,
first off, the military doesn't say, we don't want another fighter jet. Yeah, they probably do, but that is neither here nor there. The woman is off her rocker, for one thing, and for another, boy, I'll tell you, this is something that, I don't know, she seems to be a rock star, just like Obama was, with no experience, nothing that would tell anyone that she knows what the hell she's talking about, yet, there she is. And she's on television and making all these snide comments and rude comments about America and about how things need to change and how nothing has changed in Seattle except for good stuff since they've come up with the $15 an hour minimum wage. But I'll tell you one thing, it did change. I've got people who live there. I know people who live there. There are people who are losing their jobs because places like McDonald's and other places that cannot pay this $15 an hour wage that has been demanded on them now are looking for other ways to do it. They're coming up with automation, which is getting rid of the idea that they need to have workers, which is causing other people to be out of work altogether. The chat room finally opened up. Wow. It took just about 38 minutes to open up this time. It was really wild. But Axios reporter Jonathan Swan also noted her completely false claims at the end of the segment about the military, and you heard her talking about that. And all I have to say about that is she is the rock star of the Democrat Party. Wow. From Political Pistachio and Douglas V. Gibbs comes this one, folks. He's a friend of mine who is a conservative and lives in the liberal bastion state of California. He says globalists want open borders, no sovereignty for any country, and destruction of any form, and the destruction of any form of individualism, be it yours or that of any group or state. To stand against the people who call for a one world order is considered to be racist. Therefore, racism must be used to subdue the alleged racists who simply want to defend individualism. In South Africa, in an attempt to end racism, the property of people who have white skin has been seized by the government because of the white skin color of those white property owners, yet somehow they don't believe what they've done is racist. Remember, the leftist and Obama mantra, only white people can be racist. Yes, he said that, and for all the people who commented against me and said that I'm a racist, I guess they feel about the same way that Obama did, that only white people can be racist. Obama preached in South Africa that we should have greater global wealth redistribution. And there it is again, redistribution, the socialization of America and the world, folks, causing the world to go down along with America, because socialism will not work, never has, and it never will. But he scolded the successful members of the world for having more money than they need. What about him now? He's got more money than he needs. Why doesn't he give up some of that stuff that he says that nobody needs that much of? But of course not. He's working to get more, isn't he? In other words, wealth needs to be redistributed from the prosperous countries to the not-so-prosperous countries, and be successful and do well in your endeavors is greedy and should not be pursued. So I guess in his own words, he's greedy. But that's nothing new. Obama's statements were anti-American and pro-communist. The thing is, in a free market capitalist system, wealth and poverty see no color. Nations rise and fall in financial prosperity, not due to color of skin or the location of the country in the world, but due to their political and economic systems, in the sense of if they embrace or reject economic systems based on freedom and dynamic principles of individualism. Islam and other authoritarian systems based on the old Roman dominion domination of most of Europe, or socialist ideas clinging to the failed principles championed by Karl Marx, have failed and are failures, no matter how many times the leftists try to tell you it is fine and that their socialist ideas will work if only they could tweak the concepts of their own ideas. When push comes to shove, the reality of it all is the liberal left progressives are anti-American, not because they hate their own home, but because they hate the system it was designed around. While the founding fathers established our system of liberty to be exceptional and exception to the rule, and as unlike Europe as possible, the Democrats and their left-wing allies, including those who march around in the GOP and deny that they have an overwhelming desire to keep drinking from the socialist trough, are calling for us to be more like Europe and more like the rest of the world, to deny their Americanism so that they can turn their back on our sovereignty and instead pledge allegiance to a mighty global beast that seeks to destroy remnants of our constitutional republic. Among those who are willing to boldly declare worldly citizenship over any connection to America is former President of the United States Barack Obama. In Kenya, Barack Obama declared proudly, without any remorse to how he was shoving his sword in the side of the United States, that he was appearing before the people of Kenya as a citizen of the world. Yes, he said that too. 3 years ago, I visited Kenya, he said, and this is a quote. 3 years ago, I visited Kenya as a first sitting American president to come from Kenya. And he said this, he came from Kenya, which means that he was born there. He said so. But well, 3 years ago, my sister Alma introduced me before I gave a speech. Today, I'm really coming as a brother, as a citizen of the world, as someone with a connection to Africa, to talk about the importance of what she's doing, but also to create a larger context for what's possible. Unquote. The problem is, Obama not only believes he is a citizen of the world over being a citizen of our union of the states here in America now, but he believed it also during the 8 years he served as president of this country. Even more shocking is his reason behind it all. He hates the U.S. as it was founded. He hates the fact that there are checks and balances that limit the progressive madness in government, and he hates the fact that Americans are proud to be individualistic and not a part of some kind of collective mass, homogeneous, we are the world love fest. Obama's worldly language, revealing his yearning to be a member of the global collective, goes all the way back to 2008, when he was campaigning in Europe, not for the presidency, many believed, but for leader of the world. And he said, even back then, that while he might be a citizen of the United States, he considered himself, more importantly, a, quote, citizen of the world, unquote. He went on to say, and this is a quote again, quote, "I speak to you not as a candidate for president, but as a citizen, a proud citizen of the United States and a fellow citizen of the world," unquote, unquote, he declared. Dual allegiance was a worrisome thing to the founding fathers. Much of the language in our founding documents were designed to guard against divided loyalties. For the founding fathers, patriotism, establishing one's identity as a member of a country and doing whatever they could not to be entangled in the affairs of the rest of the world, was paramount. Now, I am not saying they wanted us to be shielded under some kind of system of protectionism, but they did emphasize the importance of Americans being individuals who are proud to be members of a country that considers itself to be a separate individual country that is unique and proud of its own endeavors, prosperity, and foundation of liberty. James Madison recognized that patriotism is good for a country, uniting a country in ways that other things may not succeed at. When he said, quote, "A spirit of liberty and patriotism animates all degrees and denominations of men," unquote. Samuel Adams emphasized advocacy among patriots, quote, "For true patriots, to be silent is dangerous," unquote. That's one of the reasons why I will not be silent on this leftist invasion of this country and this leftist attack of this country. The founding fathers recognized that people like today's Democrats and leftists would emerge on the scene. In fact, George Washington warned, quote, "Guard against the imposters of pretended patriotism," unquote. That, in that one little line, describes the Democrats to a T today. Tended patriotism of the imposters of the Democrat Party. That means that our founders were fully aware that there would be, and were during their own time, those who do not and did not value liberty as it was being established. There are people who hate our system of freedom and desire a utopian system that enslaves the citizenry and government bonds in the name of security and equality. Samuel Adams explained that, quote, "The truth is, all might be free if they valued freedom and defended it as they ought," unquote. The problem is, power and wealth through government tyranny has always been a potential problem. Samuel Adams told us, quote, "If ever the time should come when vain and aspiring men shall possess the highest seats in government, our country will stand in need of its experienced patriots to prevent its ruin," unquote. One of these men that Samuel Adams was sure to be talking about was Barack Obama. Blaine's in his speeches that he gives at various clubs and organizations that leftism is like a strong current under a boat, pushing towards a waterfall. We must work constantly to guard against the tyranny that seeks to destroy our liberty. Leftism is the current under the boat that is relentless, merciless, and never tires. Thomas Jefferson agreed, saying, quote, "The price of freedom is eternal vigilance," unquote. And the sad part about it is, on the left in this country, and so many on the right, that eternal vigilance has gone to sleep. But we were also warned by the founding fathers that our precious gift of liberty must not be taken lightly. John Adams said, quote, "But a constitution of government once changed from freedom can never be restored. Liberty once lost is lost forever," unquote. Over 100 years later, President Teddy Roosevelt also defended the importance of American patriotism, and for that patriotism to be more important than our role as inhabitants of a perceived world order in his, quote, "Citizenship in a Republic" speech in 1910. quote, "I believe that a man must be a good patriot before he can be, and as the only possible way of being a good citizen of the world," Roosevelt said. So, in other words, you have to be an American patriot before you can even consider being a good citizen of the world. He went on, quote, "Experience teaches us that the average man who protests that his international feeling swamps his national feeling, that he does not care for his country because he cares so much for mankind, in actual practice proves himself to be a foe of mankind," unquote. Then he added, quote, "The man who says that he does not care to be a citizen of any one country because he is a citizen of the world is in fact usually an exceedingly undesirable citizen of whatever corner of the world he happens to be in the moment," unquote. Did the founding fathers and other personages in American history see someone like Barack Obama coming someday in the journey of American liberty? Absolutely. Patriotism, however, is not enough. As the founders so aptly explained, our liberty must be defended and promoted. Something our schools don't even do anymore. They teach our kids that America is the bad in the world. They don't teach our children the good that America has done in the world. A lot of our kids growing up today don't even think America does any good in the world. But it does. But as I started to read, patriotism, however, is not enough. As the founders so aptly explained, our liberty must be defended and promoted. The enemy that ought to go by the name of collectivism is ever present, and it takes a firm hand to protect our liberty from that enemy, whether it resides abroad or internally. George Washington told us that to, quote, "To be prepared for war is one of the most effective means of preserving peace," unquote. Reagan said something like that, too. In a 2017 speech at the Heritage Foundation, veteran and Bronze Star recipient Pete Hegseth explained, quote, "We need to unapologetically lead, be willing to acknowledge that without America, there is no leader in the free world," unquote. Daniel Webster, during the early years of our country under the U.S. Constitution, recognized what Pete Hegseth was saying long before the military veteran ever uttered his words. Daniel Webster said, quote, "Hold on, my friends, to the Constitution and to the Republic for which it stands. Miracles do not cluster, and what has happened once in 6,000 years may not happen again. Hold on to the Constitution, because if the American Constitution should fail, there will be an anarchy throughout the world," unquote. In other words, if America becomes a citizen of the world, as Barack Obama and the liberal left progressives are calling for, liberty dies and chaos ensues. President Trump understands that necessity for the United States to serve as a leader of the world stage, and to do so with a firm hand. His leadership has invigorated the economy, is balancing international trade, and has brought communist tyrants to the negotiation table. Obama refuses to advocate on behalf of America and would rather fancy himself as being a global citizen. Like his liberal left progressive allies, he supports open borders with a speedy death of America as it was founded. President Trump recognizes the American nature of the demands of global collectivists like Obama, and his response has been simple: full rejection of socialism and collectivism, and a hearty embrace of the American system of liberty. Democrats and their minions are out of their mind, crazy in anger, not because Trump is somehow a danger to America, but because Trump is a serious danger to their campaign to destroy America. And we are coming up on the top of the hour. We will be back for the last half hour of the show. quite possibly here. I just had a thing. My wife came walking up, so she may need me for a little bit, but I will be back after a little bit.
We will be right back after these important messages.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and Ad Council.
Okay, Sarah, I'm dropping you at Emily's, and Josh, you're going to soccer, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, and by the way, when I pick you up, I'll be wearing my short shorts.
What?
No!
Yep, me and my short shorts doing my daddy dance. Your friends will love it.
No!
Well, I might change my mind if you buckle your seatbelts.
Okay, okay, we're buckling up.
See, all buckled.
Whatever it takes, keep them safe. Never give up until they buckle up. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council. Visit safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup for more information.
Confessions of a potentially perfect... It feels like you're frozen. Petrified. You're struggling with your mortgage payments. The bills begin to pile up. Not knowing what to do, you do nothing at all. And that's the worst thing you can do. Because if you take action, if you do something about your mortgage problems, you're far more likely to get the most positive outcome. Making Home Affordable is a free government program. Call 888-995-HOPE to talk one-on-one with a housing expert about the options that are right for you. Real help, real answers, right now. Call 888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov and do something about your mortgage problems. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Peek-a-boo. Peek-a-boo. Smile.
Smile, buddy.
Come on. Smile. Oh, honey. He's still not smiling.
Maybe he's not a smiler.
Yeah. Maybe he's just not a happy baby.
Maybe he's just being a boy. You know how boys are.
Or maybe he's teething. Oh, poor baby. I think his gums hurt.
Maybe he's just tired.
Or maybe his tummy hurts. He didn't eat that much.
Maybe he's not ticklish.
You think maybe he's scared of the dog?
Maybe he'll outgrow it. Maybe it's a phase. Maybe he just doesn't like smiling.
Maybe he has autism, and we can definitely do something to help.
Maybe is all you need to find out more about autism. No big, joyful smiles by 6 months is one early sign. Learn the others at autismspeaks.org/signs or see a doctor today for an autism screening. The sooner it's diagnosed, the better. And it can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
When is the best time to talk to your family about staying in touch during a disaster? When floodwaters reach your door? When wildfires are engulfing the edge of your neighborhood? Or an earthquake is destroying buildings? When a tornado is tearing through town? or a hurricane strikes? Or is the best time perhaps today? During a disaster, you may not be able to stay in touch with your family or friends as easily as you think. And it's not always as simple as using your cell phone. That's why now is the time to take action. Go to ready.gov/communicate and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Okay, welcome back to the second hour. I probably won't be here but half of this hour, but that's okay. Airheads of the left and many of the so-called right are doing their best to say that President Trump is destroying this nation by making America greater again, when they had absolutely nothing bad to say when Obama was actually working to destroy America. The snowflakiness of these people is actually a little hard to comprehend. I mean, it's hard to believe that someone would say that they love America. Those same people are doing everything they can to destroy her. Folks, you can't have it both ways. Yet for decades, the left has had exactly that. Both ways. If they feel they are right, then no one confronts them with their ideals. They are right. If they are wrong and everyone lets them know it, then they turn and say if it wasn't for the stupidity of the American people, they would have saved America by now. Sorry, lefties. You have been actively trying to destroy America, and even after the long list of Obama's failures of being president, still many think he was a great president. It seems that the logic and common sense of the left, and like I said before, many on the right, have lost the idea of common sense and don't know right from wrong anymore. That is one of the reasons for shows like this one. Welcome to the second hour of the show.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show with your host, Robert Garding. This is Kathy Henners of Daily Roll Call, and we need more voices like Robert, who are not afraid of the wrath of the left when the truth is told and it doesn't fit their agenda for us. From the crossroads of America comes the second hour of the show.
Okay, welcome back. I'm trying to open up right now a camera in the chat room of me, but I still haven't figured this one out. There is a video thing in there, and I've seen other people use them, but I haven't been able to figure this one out yet because it just sits there with a spinning gray thing that spins around and around and around, and it says at the bottom, "Who's watching my video?" But there's nothing there, and of course, you know, I'm not sure if anybody was in the chat room if it would open up. I've never tried it to do that when there's somebody in the chat room. There isn't right now. From Breitbart, Texas, comes this one of a new Texas nursing home shooting. 5 people are dead following a shooting spree that included an attack on the Retma Redema Manor Nursing Center in Robstown, Texas. And no, that's not my town, but the Corpus Christi, Christi Caller Times reports that the shooting at the nursing home occurred Friday evening. The shooter left two men and a woman dead. The gunman reportedly killed two other individuals in the residence of one of the nursing home victims. Police said the threat has been neutralized, which is a good thing. Robstown City Secretary Herman Rodriguez said three people are dead after a shooting at the Redema Manor Nursing Home in the 600 block of East Avenue J. Robstown is located just west of the city of Corpus Christi, Texas, so it's way in the south side of Texas. KRIS-TV6 reports that the nursing home victims were all killed inside the home. The time frame for the shooting of the other two individuals was not released, and the details on the shooting are very limited. But that says family members have gathered outside the nursing home to hear if their family members in the Redema Manor Nursing Center are safe. Five people in Louisiana are facing federal charges for keeping their autistic relative in a cage and forcing her to eat her mother's ashes. And the authority said, announced Thursday, and this one is downright freaking sick, people. The Justice Department announced Thursday that four of the suspects, Raylene Nope, K-N-O-P-E, 42, Terry J. Nope, the second, 45, Jody Lambert, 23, and Taylor Nope, 20, face multiple charges, including attempted sex trafficking, forced labor, and theft of government funds, and face a maximum penalty of life in prison. That's exactly what they need. 21 was charged with forced labor conspiracy, which carries a maximum penalty of only 5 years behind bars. Authorities say the suspects kept the 22-year-old female victim, who has not been identified, in a cage placed outside the home where the five relatives lived and forced her to consume the cremated remains of her late mother. Prosecutors say the five subjects subjected the victim to sexual abuse, forced labor, beatings, and had plans to make the woman a prostitute. Suspects also allegedly denied the victim access to a computer or a phone and drugged her with methamphetamines and painkillers. The degree of trauma that someone like this goes through is probably indescribable, the sheriff Daniel Edwards said in a statement. Pehoa Parish Sheriff's Office deputies found the victim after someone filed a report with the police. The woman and her mother lived with the suspects until the mother passed away in 2015. The world is changing, folks, and I can guarantee you it isn't for the better. We have people who consider themselves intellectual liberals who feel they are better than anyone else, especially if that anyone else doesn't believe as they do. These people in Louisiana were probably of that ilk. That, my friends, is where all the violence and the frivolous lawsuits and other and everything else that is happening in this country that makes the wiser among us shake our heads, sadly. And I can all but guarantee you things will get worse before they get better, because these people keep finding lawyers and people who are supposed to uphold the law only standing up for the ones that are putting the rest of us down because of beliefs that better or better not let them, but we better or better not let them that pendulum swing the other way, or all hell will break loose. And on that one, I can all but guarantee you, most of these people find that everything in this world offends them. Everything in this world has to change because it offends them. And yet, if one of us on the right gets offended, so what? Who cares? And that's exactly the way they run their lives. Everything offends them, so that is what needs to be fixed. If anything offends somebody else who doesn't believe as they do, it doesn't really matter. Who cares? Nobody cares. The problem with that is there's a whole bunch of us who do care. and we need to start thinking about those things that are going on in this nation. Northern California fire rages as a grandmother, two great-grandchildren are among the dead, and looters target evacuees from Fox News reports. The explosive wildfire in Northern California continues to rage Sunday as officials in the city threatened by the flames are also having to deal with an outbreak of looting in the area where residents evacuated. And of course, that's another thing that's going on too. We get looters who will take the advantage of people being forced out of their homes, and they'll go into those homes and steal what they feel they must to get what they have to have. The car fire has left 5 people dead so far since it exploded on Thursday, 2 firefighters and a woman and her 2 great-grandchildren, ages 4 and 5. And that's sad. On Saturday, the blaze pushed southwest of Redding, the largest city in the region, towards the small communities of Ono, Ego, and Gas Point, where scorching heat, winds, and bone-dry conditions complicated firefighting efforts. The fire developed so rapidly due to the weather conditions that it was just a huge fireball coming into West Redding area extremely quickly, enveloping everything in its path, Cal Fire Deputy Chief Scott McLean told America's News IQ headquarters on Sunday. There was no stopping it. The fire, only 5% contained, grew slightly Saturday to 131 square miles and is the largest fire burning in California, threatening 5,000 structures. At least 500 homes have been destroyed by the blaze in the blaze so far, Fox 40 reported. So we've got to say our prayers for those people out in California for what is going on there. We need to continue to say our prayers for these people because the prayers are needed, believe me. We just to try to see what we can do, you know, especially with prayers to help them to cope with what is going on. And that is part of what Americans do for other Americans most of the time.
We will be right back after these important messages.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I don't know how to talk like a parent. Don't make me come back there. You see what I mean? It's pretty awful. Try it again. Don't make me come back there. Now, that's pretty good. That one kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
They say that car crashes happen in slow motion. The reality is that crashes happen fast. There's no time to think and no time to check if your child is in the right car seat. Car crashes are a leading killer of children 1 to 13. Are your kids in the right seat for their age and size? Don't think you know. Know you know. Get more info at safercar.gov/the right seat. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Dad, this is fun. I didn't think I liked kayaking.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it, but I think it's time to head back in.
Okay. Can we come back?
Sure.
Tomorrow?
Let's check with Mom. Hey, be careful getting out of the boat.
It's a kayak, Dad.
I'm going to return the kayak. Just make sure you have everything.
Yep. Can we walk home?
How about a taxi? 233 North Maple, please.
It's a short fare from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Also, find fun activities to do like boating and biking or camping and hiking, plus much more. It's all right in your naturehood.
Best day ever.
A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Join in the discussion. We don't have that much time left of the show today. College course disputes idea that heterosexual sex is natural. And this is part of the thing where they're teaching our children things that really shouldn't be taught, but it's what our children are coming away with right now. Eugene Lang College, part of the new school in Lower Manhattan, will offer a course next semester for students who wish to fight heterosexual explanations of animals and nature. Taught by Heather Davis, Queer Ecologies is a 4-credit course offered by the school's culture and media department for students who wish to disrupt prevailing heterosexual discursive and institutional articulations of sexuality and nature. You know, the problem is, you know, these people try to teach our children that what they were taught not only by their parents, but by, you know, God and the Bible are all wrong, that only man knows what's really going on. And only man knows what is happening. This is what is going on here. According to the professor, these heterosexualist explanations of sexuality and nature often involve referring to male and female animals. Well, duh. I mean, for crying out loud here, if you got male and female animals, they're going to have sex, right? Male and female humans do too. It's how the species is recreated. You can't take two guys and make another human being. You can't take two females and make another human being. Well, science, I guess you could, but you still need a male in there somewhere. I don't care what you say. But it's really sad, the things that are going on here in this course. But according to the instructor, common scientific practices like using the terms male and female when describing reproduction among plants and animals contributes to the preconception that queerness is unnatural. Well, it says so almost everywhere. Eugene Lang College is part of the new school in Lower Manhattan that will offer this course next year. I didn't want that to happen, so get that out of there. I tried to. Drawing from traditions as diverse as evolutionary biology, LGBTQ plus movements, they're getting longer and longer names for themselves now. It used to be LGBT, then it was LGBTQ, now it's LGBTQ plus movements, feminist scientists, science studies, and environmental justice. This course will examine the ways in which sex and nature are understood. Well, first off, they have to understand sex and nature in order to explain it. And from what I can see from this course so far, they have no clue. So how are they going to be explaining this to our children who go there? According to the professor, these heterosexualist explanations of sexuality and nature are often involve referring to the male and female animals. Well, of course, according to the course description, students will be taught to reimagine evolutionary processes, ecological interactions and environmental policies in the light of queer theory by drawing from research in fields such as feminist science studies and environmental justice. Students will also draw important connections between the material and cultural dimensions of environmental issues and examining the ways in which sex and nature are understood in the light of multiple trajectories of power and matter, the description adds. During an interview with Campus Reform, Davis explained that queer ecologies is an interdisciplinary field that examines the relationship between sexuality and nature, thinking beyond the boundaries of assuming that heterosexuality is the norm or standard. Well, I'm sorry to tell this woman, but it is. The field inquires into sexual lives of animals, plants, bacteria, lives that are often much more strange and adaptable and queer than anything humans do, she elaborated. It also seeks to critique how heterosexuality is presumed as natural. While it is not immediately apparent why the school's culture and media department is offering the class, Davis explained that the course takes aim at how instructions like media outlets Institutions like media outlets and schools often perpetuate myths about sex, gender, and environment. Actually, the myth is LGBTQ. We can see how this and how queerness is often said to be unnatural rather than thinking about how queer sex might be actually be helpful to the survival of the species. Okay, how? She makes this statement here that queer sex might actually be helpful to the survival of the species. How? You don't make babies with it. I swear, this world is getting so insane and so wrong in its thinking that it just boggles the mind. It really does. If you stop and think about the way, you know, the ideas of right and wrong. What are they going to go after next? And I can see it coming, folks. They're going after things that have been around since the beginning of time when they were created by God. Or for you people who don't believe in it, a higher power. If heterosexual mores were not natural, then why would God have made us man and woman? If it wasn't normal, why didn't he make it so that both men and women could conceive, could have give birth? He didn't, because that is not how it's supposed to be. This is part of the establishment of the left trying to destroy civilization. There's nothing about this that says, oh, we're trying to save civilization. No. Civilization is getting destroyed by these idiotic misnomers of what they say is supposedly, ooh, this is what we got to believe because this is true. No. It's not. From the Washington Times comes this one. GOP sets deadline for Kavanaugh documents, and Democrats say they're being cut out. As always, they say this unless it is like when Obama won. You remember this when, and that was back when the Democrats, Obama was saying, we won, you lost, elections have consequences. Okay, Dems. How about this? We won, you lost, elections have consequences. Your own party's words from the President of the United States in 2009, Barack Obama to John McCain, by Stephen Dinnan, The Washington Times, Friday the 27th, 2018. Senate Judiciary Committee Charles E. Grassley said Friday He's hit a wall in negotiations in the with Democrats over the documents from Judge Brett M. Kavanaugh's past, and he moved unilaterally to request a more limited set of papers from his time in the Bush White House. Documents are shaping up as a crux for the fight over the judge's nomination to the Supreme Court. Democrats say they want to see everything Judge Kavanaugh worked on when he was in the White House, counsel's, and then later as staff secretary for President George W. Bush. Now, here's the problem. When Obama nominated the wise Latina, there was no discussion about this. The Republicans had to either confirm her, or they would do it without the Republicans. It didn't matter. But now the Democrats want to see everything. They are demanding like they are in power. They're not. But Mr. Grassley, though limited, Friday's request to documents for the counsel's office. As I have said repeatedly, I am not going to put the American taxpayers on the hook for the Senate Democrats' fishing expedition, the Iowa Republican said. Perhaps 1 million documents relating to Judge Kavanaugh are at Mr. Bush's presidential library, a massive amount of information. Well, if they want to see them, why don't they go to that library? It's open to people. They are people. Why can't they go in and check it themselves? Perhaps 1 million documents relating to Judge Kavanaugh are at Mr. Bush's presidential library. Democrats, most of whom have already signaled they'll oppose Judge Kavanaugh's elevation even before seeing the documents, hope there's damaging information they can use to sway critical Republicans to oppose the nomination. Yeah, they want to do everything they can to sway everything, to keep the courts lopsided towards the left as they have been for the past 15, 20 years. The Democrats want that. That's what they want. They can't stand the idea that maybe it'll go the other way for once, or maybe it might just be a little bit even for once. And they're going to fight this guy. He's very, very, very qualified for this position. So much more so than Elena Kagan was. The only thing is he's not a wise Latina who thinks that everything's got to go her way. The fight has centered over the judge's time as staff secretary from 2003 to 2006, a position Republicans say is less important for evaluating the judge's legal background than his time in the counsel's office from 2001 to 2003. The Democrats are going to fight this tooth and nail all the way down the line. And here we have, towards the end of the day here, and we are running out of time, so I'm going to have to say goodbye for this week, and I will be back. But I'm going to end the show with Ray Stevens' song, Coming to America. And we will be back next week. Hopefully next week it'll be the full 2 hours. But we'll see you next week. God bless America. God bless our troops. And remember, we will not be ruled. Have a good day.
Hello, this is the IIAP, the Illegal Immigration Assistance Program, a taxpayer-funded division of OATNUT for Spanish Press 1, Portuguese 2, Arabic 3, Farsi 4, French 5, Swahili 6, German 7, Italian 8, and if you insist on English, please stand by. If you're thinking about illegal immigration, be careful when you're choosing the nation, because breaking the law in some countries is frowned upon. Imagine that. Sneak into China, they'll call you a spy, ship you to Mongolia till you're dying. In the Sudan, they'll hang you and the camel you rode in on. Yeah, and don't go hiking and enter Iran, or you might never be heard from again. And in Mexico, you might face a firing squad. Yeah, forget all about going to North Korea. That's a great example of a bad idea. So when it comes down to it, there's only one option you got. Yeah, come to the USA. There's no penalty to pay. Should you get caught?
illegally immigrating. Come to the USA. It will be your lucky day. Cause when you get in, there's lots of goodies waiting.
Like health care, welfare, free education, help with your voter registration and driver's license and credit cards and license plates for your car. Lots of jobs for you to do and employers who'll turn a blind eye to.
Come to the USA.
They'll give citizenship to your new baby, so you see, there's really only one choice for you.
Come to the USA. There's no penalty to face should you get caught illegally immigrating.
I said, come to the USA.
It will be your lucky day. Cause when you get in, there's lots of goodies waiting.
Yeah, you get public housing and cable TV and food stamps and even government cheese. The borders are a swinging door. Go home for a visit and come back for more. There's sanctuary and amnesty. Bring the whole family eventually.
Yeah, come to the USA.
God bless America.